Already in this series, in Hebrews, we've spoken about Paul's reference to the heavenly realm. And he speaks about the heavenly realm in somewhat mysterious terms, doesn't he? He refers to what is in heaven as being behind the curtain. It is that which we cannot quite see, which we cannot quite grasp. It's something that's close, but we can't see it. Not in its entirety. And we see what is going on here on earth, don't we? We see what God is doing here. But we don't see everything that God is doing here. Even for us, even in these days of multimedia, we only catch a snippet of what God is doing on earth. But even so, even though we're limited to see only a little bit of what's going on earth, even though what's going on in the heavens is taking place behind a curtain, as Paul says, even though it remains a mystery, glimpses are given through what God does on earth. We see glimpses of what God would be doing in heaven through some of the actions that he has led people to do on earth. Well, what do I mean by this? Well, imagine, if you would, the game of Sabutio. Does everybody know what Sabutio is? Good. We're off to a good start. This is a tabletop game, and it can be great fun to play. I don't suspect many people play it these days. Children are probably on their computer games playing on FIFA instead. But this game of Sabutio, it exists not because it is a completely unique concept, but because it reminds people of the game of football. It would be possible, I suppose, to enjoy the game of Sabutio by itself. But it is more likely that if you're a fan of football, that you would enjoy the game of Sabutio more, because that is the game it is based on. It kind of points towards that game, the real thing. It is much more likely that a football fan would enjoy Sabutio because they like the real thing. And I always found, though, that by the time I had ironed out the creases from the tabletop pitch, by the time I had superglued, repaired the men on my team, set them up, and then gone looking for a marble because I'd lost my football, it all seemed to me to be quite a lot of hassle and wasn't anywhere near as good as the real thing, which they call the beautiful game. And the comparison of earth and heaven is a bit like the comparison between Sabutio and football. Imagine a world where Sabutio existed, but football did not. It's a pretty stark world to imagine, isn't it? Now imagine living in a world where there is no concept of the heavenly realm. Imagine what the world would be like if you thought there was nothing greater than this. Things would just seem so futile, so pointless, so hopeless. This is it. There's nothing greater. There's no prospect of salvation. There's no sense of eternity. It all of a sudden makes earth not seem even as great as we consider it today. And yet, thank God, we have signposts because of our life on earth that actually point us towards what is behind the curtain, that give us meaning to the world that we live in, that makes sense of the world that we live in, even if now the things that we hope for, the things that we're promised, even though they're out of sight still. And Moses, well, he kind of peeks behind the curtain into what is beyond, doesn't he, when he's on Mount Sinai. Most people don't even get a glimpse like that. But he does so, and he delivers signposts from what he sees and hears that offer themselves as windows into heaven, if you like, with those curtains slightly drawn back. The Levitical order of priests who entered the holiest of holies in the temple before the altar of the Lord with offerings, the worship that they participated in, the existence even of the temple itself in Jerusalem, have all been wonderful signposts to heaven. But only Jesus as high priest can approach the throne of God in the heavens. Only he has been there. And only he has been here and walked among us. He is in a unique position to pull that veil back, to open up the heavens so the earth may be full of God's glory. The law, the Levite priests, the temple, they're all described by Paul as a copy or a shadow of the heavenly reality. So picture it like this, another illustration. Remember the Levite priests like ferrymen. They travel back and forth between the realms of heaven and earth. They travel back between God and humankind. But it's not a permanent route. It's not something we can all do. They go back and forth, whilst we wait on this shoreline. Energy is required to make it possible. They must be ready and prepared to journey across the abyss time and time again. But still, there is no permanent route forged, no permanent experience of God by the people. And it's a bit like it used to be, perhaps travelling between the UK and continental Europe. However, when the Channel Tunnel had been constructed, the journey became the same for anyone who board a train as if they were travelling to any part of the UK. And you see, in this instance, it could only be realised when a long-lasting agreement was built on trust that could be achieved. We needed to know that we weren't going to be breaking out in war with Europe again, didn't we? That trust needed to be there to make sure there was that transport, that constant link, that we wouldn't have to withdraw in ourselves again. And similarly, a permanent access from earth to heaven between humankind and God could only be achieved when an eternal bond of trust is made. And that permanent access is granted through Jesus, because Jesus didn't go against God's ways. He remained completely holy. Now you see, this is what Paul writes. Now you see, Jesus has obtained a vastly superior ministry. In the same way, he is the mediator of a better covenant, which is established on better promises. He goes on to say, if the first covenant had been faultless, there wouldn't have been reason for a second one. But it wasn't. There needs to be, and so there is. You see, the Levite priests, they had no right to set foot on land which is holy. They ferried their way to the shoreline, but they didn't cross over. They gazed through the window, if you like, from behind the curtain, peeking through like a child playing hide and seek. They could not lay the groundwork for a construction that would last and connect heaven to earth, because they had no authority by which to do it. They couldn't link God to humankind. But there is a high priest who can set foot on what is holy, because his ministry is vastly superior. His name is Jesus. And he has the authority to construct a way that stretches from earth to heaven, from God to humankind. and this permanent thing that he constructs, well, the thing that we forget is that it works both ways. It joins earth to heaven, but it also joins heaven to earth. And actually, that changes everything for us. That makes the communities of Christians different to the community of Jews who gathered before the time of Jesus. This is why the Holy Spirit is now able to dwell permanently in those who are established in the way of Jesus. No longer is there a gulf between the two places. No longer does the Holy Spirit have to minister, as we've seen before, in fits and starts. Now, because of Jesus, because there is a way that is built from earth to heaven and heaven to earth, now the Holy Spirit can dwell in you. That's the gift that the Father gave. That's what we were talking about when the children were here. But of course, as with any construction, as with the construction of the Channel Tunnel, it's useless unless you use it. I mean, who here can say that they've had the order of their life changed by the existence of the Channel Tunnel? Not many of us here. Perhaps for one who makes a commute regularly, the Channel Tunnel might be an impact for them. But not for all of us. Maybe the truth is that actually the Channel Tunnel is not all that important unless we feel the need to travel to continental Europe at some point. But in contrast, we all do need to have in our possession a ticket to allow us to journey to heaven. We need to be in possession of a one-way ticket that delivers us that. And we need to also be ready to receive all of that which comes from heaven now. We will one day embark on a long journey, on a journey that makes everything that happens here on earth make some sense, have some relevance. But until that day comes, perhaps what we should concentrate more on, as well as having that ticket tucked away and safe, ready for when we need to make that journey, perhaps what we should now concentrate more on is that permanent access that we have to God because of what has been established through the Father's will, through the actions of the Son, and through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The words, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," illustrates what the new covenant should lead to. God's will is to establish his kingdom and to have dominion from sea to sea and from the great rivers to the ends of the earth. The fallen state of the world that we live in now, it will not last forever. And I think here, another image is helpful for us to understand this. Imagine a great dam. A great dam that holds behind it a large volume of water. And even though the land below it is dry and desolate, the water is capable of transforming it into something that is living. The dam begins to crack under the pressure of the volume of the water. It begins with a trickle, but the water then begins to flow out into the land. Then the structure of the dam buckles and a deluge flows. There's destruction in its path, but the water eventually breathes life into the land until everywhere is transformed. And the day comes when everywhere is lush and green, and that there's no evidence remaining of where the dam was and where the desolate land began. It's all the same. And it's the same with God's love. With the heavens and the earth, it's all the same. Jesus, through his great act of dying on the cross, having lived a sinless life, of being both priest and sacrifice, he has punched a hole in the dam. And water is flowing out. Things are changing. The day will come when our fallen world, it will be consumed by all of God's love. And there'll be no barrier between the heaven and the earth. There'll be no barrier between God and humankind. But there is already a breaking. There is already a penetration of that barrier. Heaven and earth already meet. Even if the dam is yet to come crashing down and the waters of God's love spread everywhere, even if that day hasn't come yet, there is still access to God through Jesus and that hole he has punched through the barrier. And until that day, the church, through the new covenant, through grace, meaning free gift, must embrace the ministry of the Holy Spirit to bring God's love to all. This is the outpouring of heaven to earth, which is going on now. This is the breaking down of the barrier between God and humankind. So how do we do this? Well, let me leave you with one more reflection on the illustration of the dam. Knowing the dam has a hole punched through it, we, each of us, must journey with a water vessel to fill it with water, the water of God's love. We must fill it with the experience of heaven that we can grasp because of the ministry of Jesus Christ. And then we must journey with that. And we must water the land wherever we go. Water the land with repentance, with God's forgiveness. Bring about pockets of new, abundant life in the fallen world in which we live. Letting God speak for himself through his good word, where people will realize that the world's way is no good. But God's way brings about peace, healing, reconciliation, and forgiveness. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Paul says, what is out of date and growing old is about to disappear. When the dam breaks, the old will be destroyed as God's love flows everywhere. Sinfulness will be eradicated. Those who stand by anything that is not morally good to God will be wiped away. The life of unborn children will be protected. There'll be justice for those who are suffering. God will make all things new. He will wipe away everything which is bad. The Levitical priesthood has already disappeared, which shows us that we're well on this road where everything will disappear and all things will be new. There's been a high priest in the order of Melchizedek, and his name is Jesus. And in time, the fallen world will disappear to be consumed by truth, love, goodness, and the holiness of heaven. Friends, the day is coming where we don't have to flick about those little men on the table, thinking that, oh, this reminds us of something better. We don't have to walk about in the darkness, seeking out pockets of light. The day is coming, and it's coming soon, when heaven and earth will be as one. Father, may your will be done.